With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Oh,
what is up?
Hello.
I think it's really sexy.
How are you? How are you?
It's going to be a while before I say that I'm good.
How are
but
you?
But I'll say this. That's sexy, by the way. I'm better.
Yeah?
How about that?
You don't look bad.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, I appreciate
it. I'd tell you if you did.
Well, I'm on a weight loss plan now. So.
Well, I expected you to be very white and pasty.
Yeah.
Well, you know, because of the pain pills.
I have not, luckily, knock
and
on.
And the pain.
You know, I was going to say knock on wood if you're with me, but we can't do that anymore. Because
No, he's a racist. You missed all that.
I missed it all. I missed a lot of stuff. I have not taken a pain pill since two and a half days afterwards. So
okay, good.
We're off the the pills.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, I'm not.
I guess.
Pain pills aren't.
They're no good.
It's just they're really bad for you. And if you you start to like them, and I do like them, it's just it's no good. It's no good. Mm. It is not a it's not a long term solution for me. So we kicked them. It was a little bit of a process kicking them, and then having to deal with the pain. But the pain is much more manageable than what it was last week. I will humbly say,
thank you.
That you're fantastic and sexy, but
the shows were great while you were gone.
I can only imagine.
Yeah,
I underestimated and by about a factor of 1,000 on how bad this would be. So
yeah, well, we knew that.
Yep.
Because you were gone all week. Now, if you've just been returning to our show, maybe you don't know what's going on.
I missed last week.
Jason Sakanik, Big Suk, as he is known. Gender reassignment surgery.
It's tough. Long recovery.
Courageous.
Long recovery, but we're going to get there.
Ripped pec.
Yeah, don't do it.
As Dusty liked to say, ripping pecs and having sex.
Well, hopefully one of those a lot sooner than the other at this point.
Well, you got another one you can rip.
Yeah, don't ever.
You're saying it's not good.
It's not good.
Not recommended, huh?
No, this is like, I think this is like 9 or 10. Surgeries. I've had a bunch. Like when you have to fill out that form, I'm like, I don't know, a lot. How about that? And I've had everything from work on my back to both knees, ankles, the other shoulder, elbow. It was a different animal. And I should have known that. I mean, the doc kind of gave me the business a little bit, because I was asking while we're in there. You know, I got some labrum and rotator cuff problems. You know. So I was kind of doing the, hey, while we're in there, why don't,
you
just kind of take
it's
a look.
Open.
Yeah, it's open, right? And going to be down
clean
for a
it
while.
Up.
Let's, can we see what's over
so
there?
So you can pitch again.
Yeah, absolutely. Get back on the mound, Satchel Paige style. And he kind of, he kind of laughed at me and said that I was dealing with a lot as it is. So
he's like, dude, one thing at a time.
There was definitely an element of that. He said something like, this will take everything you have. And I was like, oh, and he goes, yeah, you're going to be opened up pretty good. And we're not leaving that open for longer than we have to. And he kind of, he set me straight before going in, 'cause I hadn't gotten to talk to him since the MRI, and it was feeling not that bad. Like, this was like 3 weeks after I tore it and I was working out again and thought, you know, maybe I got lucky. Maybe this isn't that terrible. And then, you know, when we were sitting bedside ready for the surgery.
Didn't you say you had internal bleeding?
Well,
whoa.
Yeah, it bled, but I mean, that's, if you tear anything, it bleeds.
Well, I think that's not necessarily internal bleeding.
Well, yeah.
When you said that it turned all purple,
yes,
from the bleeding.
Yes.
Oh, that's, well, blood rushes to the,
yeah, rushes,
I mean,
to the surface.
Okay. Well, I've never had that happen to my body. When you said that, I was like, what?
No, don't do that. Well, that's not,
it means
fun.
Your body was working.
Well, it means it was,
right?
You tore something.
I mean, if the blood ran away from it, well, you'd have an issue.
It kind of does. It kind of pools. So it kind of pooled down into my armpit and then like my inner arm. And it was a little deceiving, to be fair, on the whole bleed thing. That arm is covered in a tattoo, so it was way less noticeable than it would have. But my big discolored armpit, but how many times do you really look at your armpit, you know? So that was kind of like, I probably should have realized before that. But
yeah, the armpits are weird.
Yeah, strange. But yeah, like leading up to it, I had pretty much most of my function back. I was on a day-to-day basis, I could use that arm just fine. It was just any sort of... anything that required any sort of strength or stability in that didn't exist. And so I kind of had this naive thought in my head that, you know, oh, this won't be that bad. Look how well I'm using it now. Wrong. I found out it was indeed that bad, and I will not be using this arm for a long time.
I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah, what do you got?
You're wearing all black today.
Yeah.
And your sling is black?
Yes.
Boy, I tell you, you sure as hell don't want somebody coming up to you being like hitting you on the right shoulder going, hey, good to see you, fella, because they don't see the sling.
I didn't even think about that.
I think that you need, you know how when like old people go walk, they put on like the
a reflective vest.
I think you need that because you don't want somebody hitting that thing.
A reflective
man.
Sling.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't they make bedazzled slings or anything?
I'm sure you could throw some rhinestones on there, you know, jazz it up.
You can paint it. Oh, yeah. Have like a little project.
Yeah. Get some puff paint. What about some googly eyes?
You could do that.
Kind of throw that on there. Well, I got a couple of them now.
You can change the mouths?
It's going to be in there for a while.
How do you feel today? And then you pick the mouth and put it on your sling.
Yes, but then...
like one of those fridge magnets.
Yeah, but Demi Lovato would somehow find it offensive and then, you know...
Put Black Lives Matter on there.
Black Lives Matter, and then on the other side, what did I throw? You throw the slogan to the other side just to piss everyone off?
What's the other... What's that? What would that be?
Well, like the
Black Lives Don't Matter?
Well,
or All Lives Matter.
Yeah, the All Lives Matter. All Lives Matter movement.
All right. Well, are you wiping okay?
I got a bidet.
Yeah, I know that, but I mean, like, you've never had to...
No.
So you've been at home.
I've been at home.
Yeah, so you haven't been tested yet.
No, I have not.
On the road.
I will tell you that...
A road game.
I am staying close to home. We're hoping the schedule is very home heavy.
Yeah.
And let's just say before I... And this is... I've left the house once. I mean, before this, so...
When you tested if you could drive last week?
No, I didn't even... I wasn't even in it.
Did you wreck the car?
I didn't even make it to the car. It was just, it was
really?
Not, yeah. It's,
boy, you were really like.
Just pain or?
Really hopeful for yourself last week.
I was.
I'm going to try driving. I'll come in if I can. 4 hours later. Yeah, it didn't pan out.
So the seat in the car, you know, it has, it's like a bucket seat. You know, they got the edges.
Fancy.
Well, that's every seat known to man. Oh. You know, seats are not flat, right? You know, they've got a contour.
Sure.
To fit your butt.
When you have, no, I'm talking about the back of the, that you're sitting against, right? That, where it's, you know, it kind of curves. And Mike probably has this. If you have a wide back.
Because he has a really nice Murano. Oh,
yes,
you're talking about his.
Yes.
Oh. A really nice back.
If you have a wide back, which I do, those seats hit kind of right in that area, think armpit. And if a feather touches me right there, I scream in bloody pain. So when I went to sit down in the car, so I was like, hey, I wonder if I can drive. No, I can't. That was not an option.
Well, you also only have use of one hand.
I'm doing that now. I drove today. It's just, you know, it's a process.
Yeah.
And I'm like the Grand Marshal in the Rose Day Parade.
Right.
Right hand lane, 52 miles an hour. Everyone go around me, F you. So
That's why when somebody's going slow and you're all pissed off behind them, give them a break. Yeah. You don't know what they're going through. Maybe they got their arm in a sling.
Yeah. Just don't be in the left lane.
And they're in a lot of pain.
Jerk.
Nope. No, that's right. Now there is a good qualifier there. Now, wait a minute. Okay, so how long are you in your sling?
12 weeks. 24/7.
24. Like, you can't even...
You can take it off like when you shower, or like again when you're getting dressed.
You just have to like hold your arm up in one position.
No, you let your arm dangle. Like holding arm, like it.
Yeah, that's not going anywhere.
It's not. No, and it's the weirdest thing is like, they don't, like you can let they can't you can't even raise your arm to like try to wash your armpit or anything. Mm-mm. So when you like I said to get underneath there or to put a shirt on or whatever, you bend over, right? Like you brace yourself against a chair or something, and then you. You bend over and then you have to do everything that way. Like you put your arm in one way or you wash up underneath that. And I don't know.
I hope you have a big enough shower to bend over and have space.
That's a pain in the ass.
I was going to say, imagine having a tiny little like standing shower and you got to do that.
You couldn't. You
just leave the door open and you bend out of the door.
And there's a lot of things that are now two man jobs like that. You just can't do. Like I can't put on a pair of pants, belt, shoelaces, anything like that. That's love. That is love. After like 3 days, get this washcloth. But I bent over to kind of try to get up in there to wash it, and I was going to change my shirt. I hadn't changed my shirt in a couple days. And when I bent over and let the arm hang for the first time, one, it was bizarre because it just felt dead. Like you can't move it. And that's a weird sensation. You can move your fingers, but you really can't move your arm or shoulder at all.
Is there numbness from the, like, where they cut it?
It just burns.
Okay.
And I was still on the pain pills at this time, and I started to violently shake. Like, my teeth were chattering, my knees were buckling, and I was like, oh, my God, I don't know what this is, but I gotta go lay down. So we abandoned that whole mission. We got the sling back on, and it was so good to feel that support. When it's out of the sling, it sucks. Just letting it hang there hurts. And I was worried that I was having some sort of negative reaction to the medicine, because I'm really an anti-pain pill guy. And that's when my doctor informed me that is a wonderful thing called shock. And that's the result of pain. And that's when this was back when I still had this dumbass idea that maybe I could go to work in a day or two and drive a car. And that was the one. What was that on, like Wednesday or I think or Thursday?
Wednesday, yeah.
That was the one that really hammered home that this is just different.
Can you still play the ukulele?
I cannot.
Damn it.
I cannot.
So then after sling, 11 more weeks.
Yeah.
Then you go to PT.
Yeah, for like another 6 to 12 weeks of like no weights, just like band stuff and all that. And then after that, then I can start in some sort of like where you're trying to.
So this is basically to get back to mostly normal, like a year.
A year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A year.
He said like 9 to 10 months, I'll probably feel like trying some stuff, you know, that's a little more aggressive. And then he goes, after that, he goes, it'll be kind of a mental and building up your tolerance. And so, yeah, a year.
Oh, fella. Well, it's good to have you back. Sorry you had to go through that.
It's good to be out of bed.
I'm sorry you're in pain.
I'll tell you what, man, if you're a pretty active person, it can drive you stir crazy.
Yeah.
It's a little.
And avoiding the pills.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. When you said you're on a weight loss plan now because you can't work out, so you got to eat massively healthy.
So my goal was I needed something, otherwise I was going to drive myself insane. I'm a week in and I'm crawling walls and I can't do anything right now. I can walk. It's about the extent.
You can drive.
I can drive. So the last 2 days I went on walks and that was like my big like, oh, let's walk. But it's better than nothing.
Sometimes that helps.
So what I figured was my goal, you got to change. There's no more. I will not bench press 400 pounds again. And that's just, you don't need to. So I'm trying to figure that if I can change the way I work out, get rid of some of the heavy lifting tendencies, because I'm starting from zero.
Do the Tom Brady plan.
Yeah. So if I'm starting from zero, I don't ever have to try to build to where I was. I can try a different sort of thing. So I figured I tore it at like 255, 260. So I figure in 6 months when I can start doing stuff again, my goal 220 to 225. So that'll give me like it'll give me a mission to do something, to not just get fat and lazy.
Goals are good.
Goals are good.
Walking is good for your mental health.
Yep.
You know that.
Yep.
And maybe this will force you into some slow living. You know, the art of slow living is a new thing. It's really catching on.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
You don't think so?
No.
Kind of slow you down a little bit.
Well, for a little bit.
More mindful.
But when they tell me that I'm good to go, then we're going to jam some gas again.
Jam some gas.
But for a while, you know.
Yeah, man.
Just don't jam the gas with the weights, okay?
Yeah, that's that. Those days.
Slow and steady.
Those days are probably long in the
You better be smart day. About this. All right, fella, I'm not.
Because Rob's right. After 9-10 months of this, you're going to want to go back to how you were.
No. Let's go.
It's going to be difficult.
Slow down.
That's honestly why I'm trying to lose the weight. You know, there's 220 as opposed to 260 is, you know, a different kind of, and you can do different things, just a different kind of strength, a different kind of fitness. You know, you don't need to do the other stuff as much, but.
Well, you're old now.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Yeah.
That's the other thing. Your body's 43.
Yeah. I'll be 43 in a couple months.
Come on, man.
Yeah, trying to change that mentality. And I have never been one to sit around and let something heal. But I'm telling you, that first 3 or 4 days, that will stick in my mind as I am not doing this again. Because the surgeon did warn me that if you're a dumbass and, you know, you don't take care of it, he goes, we'll be back in here. And that's when he said, you're really going to know what it feels like. Because now all the pins and everything, if I tear that again, it's a whole... He said the second one will be way worse. I can assure you I am going to do nothing to jeopardize.
Yeah, good. Scared you straight.
Absolutely, it did.
Good. All right. You ready to party? Did you watch some sports?
I did.
Good.
And that's all I did.
Yeah.
A couple of it was in a drug haze, but last 3 or 4 days.
Ooh. Sooks. Well, I guess Friday you weren't on the drugs.
No.
So the duck game. But let's see. What was Monday Night Football last week?
The Monday Night Football game, there was a couple baseball games where I was pretty loopy.
Oh,
and then
God.
Monday Night Football.
What was the game last week?
Who was it? Don't ask me. I was on drugs.
Tampa, Philly? Or was that Thursday?
That was Thursday.
Oh, my God.
Monday Night Football last week?
Anyone? I want your thoughts on that game while you were high.
Again.
And in pain.
I'm on drugs. Look so it up. I don't know which one.
All right. Well, Duck football. We'll start it. We've got our...
It was the overtime Ravens comeback against the Colts.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hot Ravens takes from you. we've got our college football weekend walnuts. I mean, you know the routine.
Oh, yeah. Well, NBA season starting up. Hmm. It's so far off your radar now, I can't even believe
Wednesday.
Well, tomorrow the season starts.
Yeah, tomorrow, but the
Blazers, I don't care about
Blazers. Blazers begin
Who
Wednesday.
Who plays tomorrow? Wednesday.
Who's the tip-off game? I just saw
probably a good game.
There's two games tomorrow.
Let me guess. Lakers and somebody else.
All right. Would you like to take a guess?
Lakers, Nets.
Both of them are playing, but not each other. There's only two games tomorrow.
Nets, Milwaukee.
Yes.
And Lakers, Suns.
Lakers, Warriors.
Oh, Lakers, Warriors.
Of course.
There you go.
The Damian Lillard farewell tour begins.
Glad to see that your optimism has not been crapped on.
I'm just kidding. Let's get to some Duck football, and we'll cruise through the weekend that was throughout today's show, okay? 318 on the Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right. Welcome in Monday. Sook's back.
Yes.
Yay. All right.
Here's I do have to tell people because they're asking.
Oh.
No gambling. What? I didn't get to gamble once.
What do you mean? Why?
Well, I'm locked over in Vancouver. I can't place the bets.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then I was in a bit of a haze, and I didn't think it was a good idea to be betting on sports games when I was compromised.
Wait, don't they have, like, something legal up there by now?
No, you have to. You can, pretty soon here, you're going to be able to go up to A&A, but you still have to be on the premises.
Shh.
I know.
Freaking Washington.
I was without my bets.
That sucks, too.
And I'll tell you what, watching weekend football without a little juice on it?
Yeah, that's no fun.
Not the same, man.
Who does that?
Not the same. Well, I did, apparently.
Here's our poll question today, guys. 1080thefan.com. That's our website on internet. What is your confidence level in Mario Cristobal? Oh, no. We're already at this.
We're doing Kirkmore. Oh, no. Oh, yes.
Very confident. Ducks are going places. Mildly confident, but reasons for pause. Not confident, he's Clay Helton.
Wow.
Wow.
About that.
Whoa.
That's aggressive. You want people to vote hard.
We always want you to vote hard.
That would certainly.
We do not pull punches here.
Well, I was following along with the Twitters. I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't tweet it.
See, that's dangerous, though.
I didn't tweet anything, but I'm always just interested in seeing, you know, real-time reaction. And, boy, I'll tell you what, the last handful of games, you know, win or lose, boy, I Duck fan, I can't remember the last time they were so pissed about something. And by the way, they're a top 10 team in the country with a one loss. You win out, you're fine. I just don't remember them ever being so angry about one thing other than Anthony Brown should not be the starting quarterback for the Ducks.
It's a weird time in Duck football history.
Like, he scores, right? He was good in those final two drives, right? Scores the on the scramble touchdown. It was a hell of a play. And I swear, I think Duck fan was upset because they couldn't yell about Anthony Brown. There's a lot of this. Well, because he did that one thing okay. Still sucks.
Well, they did win at Ohio State.
That's what I'm saying.
I like to remind people.
It's the damnedest thing.
But hey, it is a weird time because, you know, they're recruiting at an all-time high.
Yes.
Which, you know, everyone's smart enough to know that's the lifeblood of sustainable success in college football, right?
It's really the only thing that matters if you're talking about winning national championships.
And they're doing it.
Yeah.
But then you watch them. And you go, ooh, stinky poo-poo, right? Like, it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. It's a hard thing because Duck fans are used to Chip Kelly winning 55-14.
Yeah. I would go with on your hard-hitting poll question.
I'm in the middle.
I would go somewhat confident.
Yeah, I'm mildly confident.
Because I think Cristobal is a very smart CEO. He's a hell of a recruiter. I think he understands what it takes to build a program. He hires really bright guys. There hasn't been a single coordinator hire. But look at Washington. They got two horribly wrong in 2 years. Oregon hasn't screwed up once.
Wait, what's the other one?
Well, they let their defensive coordinator go, and they just promoted the other guy from within as opposed to actually going out and finding another hammer defensive coordinator.
Where'd that guy go? The Kiatkowski guy or whatever?
He's in Texas.
Texas, okay.
He's down in Texas. Sark got him.
Sark.
But they haven't made a bad hire. And I think when you recruit at this level, if you continue to do it, and I don't know why he couldn't, it's almost impossible to not have great success when you're a top 10 recruiter. It really is. Like, you can not win national championships, but you will win conference titles. You will go to the playoffs if you recruit at that level and you're a solid CEO type. It's almost impossible not to. But can they be good enough to build and continue to make the coordinator hires as guys leave? Can they ultimately get to win a national title? I can't say that I've seen that, which is why I'm optimistic, but I still have a question mark about the long-term growth and development of players as opposed to recruiting, because that's the difference between winning conferences, getting to a playoffs occasionally, and actually, you know, getting there on a consistent basis or winning one.
Yeah, I think don't you think it's too early?
Yeah,
too early. We can't draw any conclusions, which is why it's an interesting poll question, because a lot of people do not have faith in Mario Cristobal, which I think is fascinating. I will tell you, Clay Helton, I looked it up today. Mm-hmm. Clay Helton, 26-10 in his first 36 games with the Rose Bowl win.
Okay.
Mario Cristobal, 30-11 in his first 41 games with the Rose Bowl
Rose Bowl.
So to say that it can't...
There's a Rose Bowl win, but they've won the Pac-12 last 2 years.
Yeah, the second one was a little asterisky, but they did go to Fiesta Bowl, lost, but but it's similar. All I'm saying is, you know, it's not just this straight upward trajectory.
No.
You never know, man. And I'm not saying he's Clay Helton. I think it's silly to compare him to Clay Helton because I think USC has more sort of cultural,
sure,
internal advantage. Problems. No, problems.
Oh, disadvantages.
I don't know if they're disadvantaged. I just think they're kind of a mess. Yeah. Oregon is not a mess. No. Mario Cristobal has this thing cooking. Now,
you say what you want, and you have it. We're at USC, you're right. USC's a mess.
Dude,
things.
You could give me the best coach in the country. He's fighting some uphill battles at USC because they can't get out of their own way.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to compare the two. But I think the point is Mario Cristobal just a great recruiter, and this is where the rubber meets the road? Fans are worried about that.
Sure.
Because when you watch this offense, boy, it is beyond frustrating. Mm-hmm. So let's put a pin in it in the interest of staying on time because there's a lot to talk about here. And we'll come back and we'll talk about it. And I will ask Jason Sukanik in his triumphant return to the show, albeit in a sling, but not on pain pills.
No.
How is it that Oregon, yes, they're top 10, 5-1, beat Ohio State. How is it?
I know what's coming.
How are they this good? And they are good.
Yeah.
College football, teams are losing right and left in college football.
Including Alabama.
And Oregon lost one. But, yeah. I mean, you know, this is a top 10 team. How can their offense look this bad? And how can they not throw the ball down the field like ever?
I will do my best.
Okay. That's next. Here's Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, Mario Cristobal of the Ducks was on with Dusty today. At 12:30.
Dusty of AJ and Dusty, but no AJ.
Yeah, she was missing. But Dusty interviewed Cristobal. If you'd like to hear it, you can go to 1080thefan.com or it's on our Odyssey app, which you should have. And Cristobal, you know, Dusty asked him all the questions. He's pretty polished. I mean, he basically said, in terms of Anthony Brown, because that's what we're talking about right now, he said, calling anything a quarterback controversy is just creating a narrative because they're always evaluating each position, which I believe that.
Yeah, like, he's going down the road. And there is an element of truth, especially with a coach like that. If you've got a guy that's supposed to be a stud left tackle and the freshman is playing that much better than him, I don't think Cristobal is the sort of guy that plays the
exactly.
Yeah, it's if there was, and this is what I've said all along.
That's code for the younger guy were better, we'd have him in there.
He'd be playing.
Yeah.
Well, and Moorhead said the same thing today. I mean, he came out and did the, you know.
Well, now wait, I have that clip.
Okay.
So I want to play that.
Yeah.
Because I think Cristobal, Mario Cristobal, I'm sure he's pissed about the booze. But one thing I told myself coming into this week was, you know, he better not get all defensive and bristly.
Yeah.
I get it. That was probably frustrating. That was the most booze I've ever heard at Autzen. I don't know about you.
It was, well, I mean, dude, obviously not having been there, but talking to some people and it was not, this was not a,
that wasn't pretty.
It was not a smattering of booze. How about that?
Exactly. And I'm sure they're like, what the F?
And even when he scored that, the game winning touchdown again on a really nifty play, I'm telling you, it was loud and exciting, but you could tell that there are some fans it's more like, well, it's about time.
Well, yeah, I was just, in terms of Cristobal, I didn't want him, because he can get defensive and bristly.
Sure.
And I think that's a bad way to go about it. Coaches, a lot of times expect blind loyalty, and they always want the benefit of the doubt, but it doesn't work that way, and he needs to understand that. And I think, to his credit, he showed up here on a Monday, and he answered the questions. He's just really polished. The other thing he said about the booze, he said they're just noise, and noise comes from all sides, and so they don't pay attention to any of it. And again, that's where I think his strengths show. Mario Cristobal is a great culture builder. If I can get that out, culture builder. He's done a good job at that. And I think that he is a very good leader in terms of tuning out noise and this kind of thing. I think that probably pissed them off.
Yeah, well, and I forget who it was. One of the players, I was reading through some of the post-game quotes, and they said that it fired him up like you wouldn't believe.
Right.
You know, look,
brought him together.
Exactly. No one wants to get booed. When you're down there and, you know, you got supposedly one of the best environments in college football, and they're booing your ass. Yeah, I can imagine that if someone's going to light a fire, it might be that.
So Cristobal was very close to the vet. He didn't really talk about anything specific. What I like about what Moorhead says here is Moorhead actually comes out and defends the decision to play Anthony Brown, which I think is what people are looking for. They're like, what is this? When we're watching Anthony Brown.
Yeah. Why?
Why? And here is what Joe Moorhead said.
You know, so we're 5-1, you know, it's the, basically the top ranked scoring offense in the conference. He's created 12 touchdowns in the air, on the ground, and has only turned the ball over twice. And, you know, when you play the position, you assume the mantle of responsibility and the criticism that goes with it. But I think AB is, doing a solid job in his role. He's not Marcus Mariota. He's not Dennis Dixon. He's not any of those guys, but he's got to understand who he is and what he does well and how that's going to contribute to not Justin Herbert, how it's going to contribute to our offensive and team success. I mean, you go back to the 19 season, we're averaging as many points, as many yards per game as that team with the NFL Rookie of the Year, an Outland Trophy winner, 5 NFL linemen, Jake Breland in the NFL. I think we scored 21 against Cal and 17 against Stanford in Minnesota that year. So it's all relative. So you can nitpick and talk about stats and completion percentage and all that stuff. But, you know, I'll go into a game with AB as my quarterback and believe in his abilities and what he's going to do. And, you know, I'm proud to be coaching him because he's a great competitor and he's doing a good job with the offense.
It's a pretty definitive, statement there. That's definitely not just.
There's a case. Yeah. That's their case. Yeah. And so if you notice, between Cristobal and Moorhead, neither of them said one thing about the young guys.
No.
And I think that's very telling.
I think that there is, absolutely. I think this is equal parts. Brown is just good enough. And you keep winning, I should say, and equal parts, you have no faith in either one of those kids that they're going to assume the mantle. And the other one too, and I Nemec brought this up a long time ago, but I think it's a hell of a point in modern day football, in the world of college, when you make that choice and you pull the trigger, whether it's Ty Thompson or Butterfield or any of the guys, although that seems to be the, you know, obviously the two, and Ty Thompson being the one everyone thinks is the guy, you pull that trigger midway through the year and Ty Thompson isn't the guy, Butterfield's probably gone. You're going to lose one of them, right? One would assume this is just kind of the way it works. And if you aren't certain about which guy is the one to do, to do as the future of your program, it is really hard to just make that decision mid-season and be like, well, I guess we'll just roll the dice and cross our fingers it's this one. And to do that in a season when you're a top 10 team and everything you want is still in front of you, I just think we all want them to be a little more riverboat gambler, and I just don't think there's many coaches in the country that would do that.
Okay, so why is it so ugly? Answer that question.
That one, I'm assuming we got a break, but I will take a stab at that, and you might be surprised.
Oh, we're going to break again.
I think we're going to break again.
Okay, that's smart. That's smart. Let's stay on the clock here.
I've got a two-prong thing, but one of them I think a lot of people are going to disagree with, but when you look at the numbers, I think it backs it up pretty well.
Okay. Why is it so damn hard to watch, Jason? Because it is.
It's not pretty.
It's like, oof.
Yep.
We'll get to that next. 342 on the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
All right, so the question is for Jason Sakanik. If you're just tuning in, he is back, and we welcome him back with one open arm, the other one in a sling.
Yeah, the other one will not be open for quite some time.
We are on Nick Rolovich watch. Today is the day, the deadline for state employees in Oregon and Washington to get the vaccine. So,
and we know that he has not gotten the vaccine. He's applying for an exemption. Most don't think he will get it. And as Mike Lynch has been reporting, there is a team meeting today with their AD to discuss the comings or goings of Coach Rolo.
So we'll keep you posted.
Give the Kooks some credit, man.
Three in a row.
Yeah, they started off the year just, you know, about as bad as you could, and they've rebounded nicely.
All right, so why is Oregon's offense so ugly?
All right. There's a lot of components to this, so I'll try to shoehorn this all together. But the real truth of the matter is, and people can take this however they want, there's nothing wrong with their offense. This is their offense. It just is.
Well, but okay, so let me ask it a different way then.
I know, but ask away, because I was going to say.
Because Anthony Brown is 10th out of 12 Pac-10 quarterbacks, yep, in the Pro Football Focus grades.
Yes. Yeah. But that's
very low.
But that's what I'm saying. This is their offense. We have the best and the worst thing to happen to this Oregon team is beating Ohio State, right? Because it was one of the biggest wins, if not the biggest win in regular season history, and it gave you an enormous amount of street cred, right? And, you know, even with the loss to Stanford, you win out your games and you're in. That's still going to go down as one of the best wins of the year for anyone. Just, it's a monster win. But the problem is,
look good doing it.
The offense looked good doing it. And I think that right there has led to an expectation. And at this point, going, even if you want to go back to Fresno, what we're seeing with this Oregon offense is we went to a restaurant, right? And it was the second time we've been there. First time we went, it was okay, but we had heard really good things about it. And it wasn't that great, but we went back the second time and it was the best meal we've ever had. You're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And now we keep going back to it. And it's like the first time we went. And so now the first time we went, we were like, oh, that's good. I'd go back there. But now we're like, we've had a taste of it and we want it. And I think at this point, the outlier is not the other six games or the other five games. The outlier is Ohio State. It really is. And when you look at the numbers behind this Oregon offense, Anthony Brown's performance really doesn't change that much. You know what does change? The run game. Mm-hmm. When Oregon runs the ball and they run it effectively, care to guess how many yards per carry they averaged at Ohio State? 7.1.
Yeah, it was crazy.
When you run the ball like that and you are gashing people.
Yeah, Brown wasn't like
no
Mr. Heisman at
At Ohio State. Like, we sit here and we paint the picture that Anthony Brown at Ohio State was this ungodly figure. He was 17 to 35. He completed 48% of his passes.
He played well, though. I mean, but he was sharp.
He had the two touchdowns, and he was really good in the run game when he had to be. But why were they able to be effective in the passing game like that? Because they were running the ball so well. And it was a great scheme. And they had new wrinkles they threw out there, and they confused Ohio State. And Ohio State flat out wasn't ready, and Oregon whooped their ass. And if you look at the rest of the way, Brown's performances are fairly intact there. They're really, like, he makes a couple plays with his legs. He throws actually a better completion percentage. I think with the outside of maybe Arizona, the Ohio State game was the second worst completion percentage. Yards per attempt, you realize they're not that much different. He throws for about 190 to 230 yards a game. The difference is where those passes came. They were in big moments. They sealed the game with big first downs. But the truth of the matter is, Oregon hasn't had a vertical passing game all year long. It hasn't been there. Now, you can say that's Anthony Brown's fault. You can say that they don't have the receivers to run it, or not some sort of confidence in those guys. Because when you watch Oregon's offense, it's not as if Oregon is attempting to take these deep shots and Anthony Brown isn't able to do it. They really don't attempt it. Now, when he has thrown occasionally downfield, it's not the most accurate thing in the world. And so is that a cause and effect thing? Or is it one of those where Oregon's like, yeah, we just don't want to make this part of our offense? But the reality is, this is just kind of who they are. And to me, they live and die off of the run game. When the O-line is cranking and they're running the ball effectively, Anthony Brown's game is fine. And it complements it real well, and you can get into these RPOs, and you can allow Moorhead to scheme guys open, and it's a real clever offense. When the run game is a dud, this offense grinds to a halt. And what was the difference in that the last two drives they had against Cal? What did they come out and do? Turn around and hand it after that horrific third quarter. They turned around and handed it to Travis Dye, and he was gashing Cal up the middle for 5, 6, 7, 8 yards, and all of a sudden the passing game comes around. But the truth of the matter is, this passing game is ancillary. It is a secondary thing. If Oregon ends up having the year they want to have, it's going to have to be running the football. And then this is hopefully cleaner and prettier and not going through these lulls, but this is your offense.
So I think a lot of fans maybe feel like Anthony Brown is the problem because he can't see downfield, or if he does, he doesn't want to take those shots, or he misses guys. Like, I don't know. I guess maybe that's some of the confusion is
I just don't
they
see
help, they don't have any vertical passing game at all.
And they don't really attempt it.
And a lot of fans are like, well, how are you going to win without that? Well, they're 5-1, but
and beat Ohio State.
Is that because they don't throw the ball down the field? Like, Moorhead does not want him throwing the ball down the field. Is that because Anthony Brown is not? It feels like to me, this is just one layman.
And that's a question I can't answer.
Okay, so because I haven't been to the game yet, I haven't sat up high and watched the field develop. It's hard to see on TV how receivers are doing when they're not in the screenshot. But it does feel like Anthony Brown checks down. Like, it almost feels like he doesn't see the field very well, and he panics a little bit and just safety valve, safety valve, safety valve, which is why his completion percentage against Cal was like 71% or whatever. Yep. And that frustrates fans, especially on third down when it's 3rd and 10 and he throws it 4 yards.
Yep.
And you know, so what is that? Is that just that, him just trying to minimize mistakes?
I would have to sit down with Moorhead or sit down with the All 22, because I have gone back and tried to look at this, and you're really right. When you're watching a game on TV, it's really difficult to see what's unfolding downfield. But I just don't see, whether it's by design or whether it's just by execution, there just isn't a lot of options for them to take deep shots downfield. It is just not part of their offense.
So you're saying if Ty Thompson goes in there, you're not seeing deep shots out of him either?
I don't know. If he's asking him to run the same offense that AB is, then no. But maybe Ty Thompson does take, I mean, by account, Thompson and Butterfield both have better arms, right? So if these guys can sling the ball downfield, then maybe you do see that being more part of the offense. But this is, again, where I can't answer it, because I don't see Ty Thompson. I don't see Jay Butterfield on a day-to-day basis. What if they throw the ball real well downfield, but you're not confident in your receivers, and then that messes up the whole rhythm of your offense, which up until this point, which no one was complaining about in the second half of games or against Ohio State the entire game, What if you just think this team right now with all the rest of your talent is kind of the New England Patriots right now? Run the ball, play defense, and use our kind of RPO run game.
I think the retort to that would be, are they too conservative? This is what we've talked about before. Like,
I think there's a lot of opinion.
There's just a lot of people that maybe feel that Cristobal, and see, I don't think Moorhead is, but I feel like Cristobal's overarching offensive philosophy bothers people.
Well, then that's something that you're going to have to deal with, because right now Cristobal has made it very clear.
It's really uninteresting.
Priority number one is going to be physical, run the football. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it is really hard to be a tough nose downhill run first team and be explosive throwing the ball.
Yeah.
It just, everything from the way your old linemen, you know, set up to just every, it's hard to be those things. And you know what this reminds me of a little bit is Cristobal was part of old Alabama, right? And what did we used to accuse Alabama's offenses of being? Boring. Because what were they based on? We're going to be bigger and more physical than you. And then you got some different offensive minds that came into it, and now we see Alabama's offense as a very up-tempo thing. And I don't think that Cristobal is formationally as kind of archaic and as Saban was, but I do think there is an element to, no matter who your OC is, when Mario's the coach, you're running the ball first and everything is going to be based off of that. And so if that's your problem with this philosophy, this may be a reoccurring theme over his tenure.
Well, it already has been.
Yeah, but you get a guy, you know,
Herbert. Look at Justin Herbert.
You're right, because that guy has proven that he's one of the best rookie of the year, dude, in the NFL.
He's the rookie of the year in the NFL.
Yep. And he struggled at times. So.
And so as somebody said, somebody tweeted us.
These OCs are way better than what Herbert had, though.
Well, I know, but Moorhead said, hey, we're averaging just as many points as that team. Well,
yeah.
Is that an indictment a little bit on that team? Because in what they did with, they should have done way more with Justin Herbert.
But this is the argument that Moorhead and Cristobal will always be able to come back with. And I can't necessarily disagree with it, but I think it's a little bit of a dishonest sort of argument is, well, we won the Rose Bowl. So what the hell do you want from me?
No, I agree.
You know, and so that's
winning.
They're winning games, and that's going to be that one where people are going to be like, argument is we want more.
Yeah. Well, this will be decided. Okay. So I think that one other element at play here is Oregon fans don't feel like they are elite, right? Like, I mean, if you know anything about the history of Oregon, you don't feel like you're Ohio State and you're, you know, Oklahoma and Alabama. I mean, come on. Of course, you're Oregon, right?
Yeah.
So you go and win a game like the Ohio State game. It's like, oh, that's why that was so big, right?
Huge.
That validation. So I think what,
so good.
Well, and then not only that, but that set up their whole season. The Pac-12 sucks. Mm-hmm. Everybody stumbles.
Yeah.
It's all right there in front of you, and then you lose a game you had no business losing. And so what I'm getting at is I think Oregon fans have a little bit of scar tissue with regards to the close but no cigar.
Threshold.
And the Ducks have already had that a few times. And with this level of recruiting, I think what some fans, where this is ultimately going to be decided is, and this is not a knock on Cristobal. I think Cristobal is doing, I actually think he's doing a great job. I just think it's really hard to get used to this new style. It's really ugly. Yep. It is not exciting. It is boring.
At times.
And frustrating. But I think ultimately the only way Mario Cristobal will truly have success at Oregon with most fans is if they get over the hump. They have to get over it. Cannot be close but no cigar. Yeah. So that whole idea of, oh, Rose Bowl, they could go win the Pac-12 and win the Rose Bowl this year, but if they lose twice and they miss the college football playoff, guess what?
It's not enough,
It's not enough. Yeah. And the more times they do that and put themselves in position with wins like Ohio State or whatever, the more fans are going to expect them to actually get them over the hump, because then you start to get into, you know, and this is a whole nother conversation, but then you start to get into like Nebraska and Texas expectations where nothing is ever good enough. Nope. And Oregon better be careful not to get into that, because
it's a miserable existence.
Miserable existence. And it's starting to feel like that a little bit. There's some restlessness. And I think that while Cristobal is doing a good job, I do agree with a lot of fans that, and I don't know about the quarterback situation. I trust, especially Joe Moorhead. If he's going with Anthony Brown, I'm not any smarter than Joe Moorhead. I think Joe Moorhead knows what he's doing. Okay. So he's going to stick with Anthony Brown, but ultimately these guys got to prove it. they got to. This season is still right in front of them. The college football playoff is possible. Everybody is losing. Iowa just lost. Everybody's losing, man.
Alabama and Georgia still have to play each other.
Even though you've blown one game you probably shouldn't have blown, it's still right there. And I think fans are going to hold their feet to the fire. And I think that's fair. They're tired. I mean, like, this is the recruiting is where it should be.
Sure.
And so there's really no excuse.
Well, then be look, just be careful about your emotions, because I said this, you know, 3 weeks ago. If this is the product that you're running out week to week, you're going to win a lot of games. You will lose. And you lost to Stanford. If you play this way, just week to week, somewhere along the line, you are going to stub your toe again. And I think that is another frustrating thing is when you watch this, you could see Stanford coming.
Yeah.
You're like, one of these isn't going to go your way.
It's so weird.
And then they came out after a bye week and you're hoping that it would be in a reset. It wasn't. You were in that same position against Cal, end of the game. And I think that's the fear, is you keep living. It's like with a bad bullpen.
It's been every single game except for Ohio State.
That Cal team was 1-4 and you're off a bye and you're back at home.
That's a bad football
team. Come on, man. Yeah.
It was
you're right. It's this sense of dread, which is so weird, because they're a top 10 team. They're 5-1. They should be able to beat everybody left on their schedule. Yet you're going into a game against UCLA where nobody has any confidence.
Well, and you see the point swing too. I mean,
UCLA's favored now.
I get it. I think it's an emotionally traumatizing time right now to be a Duck fan.
All right. It is 4:01. Let's continue our hot sports discussion, our college football weekend walnuts. Will Nick Rolovich continue to be the coach at Wazoo on The Fan?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.